began to see when they would pray for people what the problems were. They began to experience the angelic when they standing guard over them at night. And the kingdom was just opening because they had made the right choice now. And they were in an atmosphere of belief like the atmosphere that you bring to your home. You set the atmosphere for your home with what you believe in. And it manifests and it affects that environment and the people around you. It absolutely does. And it's spectacular, the results that you can see. I was really, and the grace that God gives to bring us into this. But, okay, I got a few minutes left, don't I?
Yes.
Do I?
Yes.
That's a few minutes.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
That's a few.
Say everything you want to
just
say.
Keep going.
Yeah, keep on going.
You know, there is liberty here, so if anyone gets hungry, has to leave or whatever.
Bye-bye.
But, we'll just go through.
But yeah, because I wanted to give just a couple things. But like with my kids, they began to experience the same things that we do. It became a part of their lives. My daughter, her hands were going numb when she would sleep. And she said, I don't know what the problem is. I said, well, try a different pillow. Now try sleeping on your side, sleep on your back. So, you know, after all these different things, then, you know, finally you get smart and say, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it. And that night as she was sleeping, she just suddenly woke up. And she said, I woke up and I looked towards the closet and I saw this little creature. It was creeping out of the closet. It ran over, bit me on the hand, and then ran back in the closet.
Oh, no.
And she said, I was just stunned. But then it came out and did it again. Yeah, that's it. It's not really funny, but it sure sounded funny, you know, the way it happened. It's not like she was terrified, but... So, but God gives you a grace, you know, when you're walking in the supernatural, that becomes your normal life, right?
Yeah.
So there was a grace there, and so we just, God had shown what the problem was, so she told me about it, we took authority, commanded it to leave, and guess what? No more numb hands. So it was just like the Lord was just showing that as he was leading my family to walk in these things also, he was showing that he would take the whole family and use us in the same ways.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I should go there. I don't even have time.
Yeah, you can.
We're here.
Yeah. Come on.
We're good.
I'll take a few more minutes if you guys want to come with that.
We came to hear you.
Okay, you came to hear.
That's right.
So I better talk then.
Right.
Or something. So one thing I noticed, and this goes straight to what we did this morning. When you're ascending, you're moving in the spirit. A lot of people, especially when they first begin this process, they think that the whole thing is imagination. Imagination is huge. It's important. Sanctified imagination is a bridge from the natural to the spiritual.
Come on.
Yes. I see it.
But there comes a point as you put this into practice, this principle, that you actually step into the things of the Spirit, and you don't, and at that point you won't wonder because you'll be overwhelmed at the difference that it makes. So don't grow weary in that. But the reason I'm telling you this is because that's my way of saying, yes, you really can move like Elisha into the king's bedchamber.
Yes.
And that's one of the things God's doing in this hour. That as we're experiencing this, it's for a purpose, even on the earth, to prepare us. Yes, we're ascending, but God is beginning also to move people so that you know what to do in situations. And in my own life, he began teaching me about this through stillness and waiting on him. Now, I want to talk to you just for a couple minutes about stillness. And then I want to give you a couple of testimonies about the fruit of that. Stillness. Why is stillness so important when you pray? It's a way of telling your physical being to take a break. It's like we're physical all day long. We're physical. We think physical. We do physical. Now we're going to engage with heaven. So we don't necessarily need to be physical for our spirit man to engage. As a matter of fact, it's a distraction sometimes. Until you learn to walk in that, then you just carry it with you. But that's a different story. But to get a breakthrough, if you're looking for a breakthrough, you had the visitation 5 years ago and you're wondering why it's not every day. It can be every day. It can be everyday life. And I could stand here for, I'd love to stand here for 2 weeks and just lay it out for you. But stillness, it helps bring the separation where you're not being pulled back by your physical being. If you're moving around, you're focusing on the things of the spirit, you're focusing on the Lord and you get a cramp in your leg or you feel like you need to stretch, it seems to pull us back from that place, right? Especially if you haven't received a breakthrough into that. So if you learn to be still, your spirit man comes to the forefront. And then you begin to experience the things of the spirit with greater measure and greater degree and greater clarity, greater understanding, because your spirit man takes the lead. Your physical being, you've already said, be quiet. Be still. And so you begin to experience that separation that allows you to move into the heavenlies with greater ability, because you're not being distracted by physical things. You're moving in the spirit now. You're focusing on that. Now, when I say stillness, the reason I'm telling you this is for the sake of breakthrough. Because when you're ministering, or when you're out and about doing things for the kingdom, you can't run home to your prayer chair and spend 3 hours there because you got to go back and pray for somebody. That's not practical, right? So when I talk about stillness, it's for the sake of breakthrough at this point. So that once you get that breakthrough and you know what it feels like to step into the spirit, to feel the separation of your spirit and your body to move in heavenly realms or move like Elisha or Enoch, then you know what it feels like. You can step into that more readily. And a place of stillness is the way that you can do that. So when I am still, I notice even in the schools that we do sometimes, we practice stillness, and you still see that many people don't quite get the concept because they're still, but then, you know, they're moving, and then they're stretching, and then they're adjusting in the chair. I get it. Sometimes we're uncomfortable, but if you want the kind of breakthrough that allows you just to step into both realms, you're virtually telling your body, go to sleep. I don't need you for this part. So if someone saw me in stillness, they might check my pulse to see if I'm alive. That's the stillness I'm talking about. If you can master that one thing, it will propel you into incredible adventures in God, because you're allowing your spirit man to lead the way. We've been led by the physical man most of our lives. Now what we're doing is we're shifting because we want to walk in both realms,
yes,
with awareness. Mm-hmm. So that we can go and we can do and we can experience the things of God. So stillness is huge. Imagination is huge. Would you like to see what heaven looks like? Would you like to see the angels that minister to you and for you and work with you? Do you want to see your ministry team?
Yes.
Do you want to see the cloud of witnesses?
Yes.
Imagination is a bridge that allows that to happen. And we know that Jesus said that imagination is reality. The scripture says that if you look after a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery. He didn't say you've thought about committing adultery or you pretended to commit adultery. It's a reality. The imagination is reality. That's why when you imagine worshiping, you're actually worshiping. When you imagine praying, you're actually praying. It is reality. So if you use your imagination to see the fact that there are angels posted by the doors, then you say, well, I don't know what they look like. Well, just imagine something.
Yeah.
And once the manifestation of it begins to happen, then it will clear up. And you say, oh, they're not really blue like they thought. They're actually wearing white robes. So, and you think, when does this happen? That depends on how much you engage with heaven. You know, it's like if I went to the gym once a month and I couldn't really look in the mirror and say, this stuff doesn't work. You know, I've been exercising almost 2 hours. I don't see any visible results. It's kind of the same thing when you're engaging the things of the Spirit. If that is your passion and you're engaging the kingdom and you're doing this as your life, you're walking. See, because here's the deal. If you want to walk in both realms, you actually have to walk in both realms. A friend of mine was, we were talking about a book that someone wrote called 6 Hours in Heaven. And he said, oh, I'd love to spend 6 hours in heaven. And I was kind of thrown by that because, you know, I can't even get him to pray with me for a half an hour. So I just said, you realize to spend 6 hours in heaven, you would have to spend 6 hours of your time, right? And yeah, I get that. But, and it's the same with us when we're engaging the things of the kingdom. If it's important to you to walk in that heavenly realm, then you will just begin to do it by faith. You'll take that step of faith. Use your imagination. Jane talked about this very clearly this morning, about engaging this and really drawing on your imagination to propel you into these experiences with God. And the more you do it, the more clarity you have, the more you step into that realm by faith, the more it manifests, and then pretty soon heaven just opens around you and you begin to experience, even in this realm, the both realms moving together and God using you. And I know this because this is the way the Lord explained it to me and showed me in my own life, because I would pray for my kids and suddenly I would find myself standing in the room with my son was sleeping at a friend's house and I'm praying for him, Lord, I want to make sure he's okay. Suddenly I'm standing in the room. And I'd never been to the people's house before, but I see my son's asleep on the couch. And I looked at the room, and so the next day he came home, I said, I saw you sleeping on the couch. It's a brown leather couch, right? You were asleep, fell asleep in their basement, right? And there's a big screen TV, and he said, yeah, that's exactly what it was. And that's kind of a heartwarming, you know, kind of translation story. There's serious reasons that we go to. There are fun reasons that we go. The kingdom of heaven is not a bunch of sour-faced people. That I know I kind of look that way because I'm really serious sometimes when I deliver these messages. But it's a joyful thing.
Yes.
When you can hold someone in your heart and be whisked away to where they are so that you know they're okay. My daughter wasn't answering her phone once. And so I said, Lord, and I wasn't asking to be translated. I'm just praying for her, you understand, because I love her. And so I'm just praying, Lord, and she's not answering her phone. I need to make sure she's okay. Then suddenly I'm flying through the air like Superman. And I flew over a city and another city, and then I'm 30 miles away, and I'm flying down the street. I land in front of a house. I see the number of the house. I walk inside, and there's my daughter sitting with four of her friends. They're watching TV. And so the next day, she was spending the night with her friend Christy. And so the next day, they come in, and I said, Angie, you weren't answering your phone last night. She goes, I apologize, Dad. I didn't answer my phone. It wasn't charged or something. But of course, you know, she could have borrowed a phone, but that's beside the point. But I said, that's okay. I went and I checked up on you. I said, you are in this town. I said, this is the house that you were in. Here's the friends that were with you. And because I had stuck around to hear what they were talking about, like any good parent would do, right? I said, this is what you guys were talking about. And she goes, and of course she says, yeah, that's right, Dad. Why wasn't she thrown by that? Because supernatural is normal in our household.
Yes, yes, yes.
However, her friend, her eyes got really big and she goes, how do you know that? But this happened over and over and over because we can be like Elisha and Elijah and Enoch, as a matter of fact. Even as I'm saying the name Enoch, I realize that he's a Jane pointed out that he's a part of what's going on here. Now I'm starting to get drunk now. Maybe I should have mentioned that. Okay, anyway. So, so the things God wants to do are supernatural beyond your wildest expectations. They're for the kingdom. Follow Christ, all these things will be added to you. We have to make sure our focus is Him, because we are, and this is one thing I like to tell everywhere I go because of the subject that we talk about, is you have to, your heart and your passion has to be Him. Supernatural has such a huge draw. You know, when you talk about, you know, the power and all of the things that go with it, that we have to make sure our focus is Christ, because, and I learned this, because beings would show up and try and present themselves as other than what they were. So we have to have an awareness and be led of the Holy Spirit and all of these things. And really, our focus has to be on the Lord Jesus and His purpose in our life as we pursue the things of heaven that He freely gives us. It's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But I just say that because we have a level of responsibility also as we step into the things of the kingdom. We have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. I think that's what it says, right? Mm-hmm. Praise God. I'm already 17 minutes over my time limit. But I am starting to fall apart now, so in a good way. So I just want to, wow. Okay, just let me pray. Let me just pray. Father in heaven, we just come before you. We come before your throne, and we just ask for the manifestation of your will in our lives. What you've brought us here for, we just receive it with great passion. We just receive the things you have for us. We draw them in, Father. We open every gate to you. We open every access point of our being. Fill us and flood us with your light to overflowing. Father, just do spectacular things within us for your glory and for your kingdom. Mold us into who you created us to be so that we can fulfill our destiny. And enjoy this wonderful journey and relationship with you. Just capture our hearts and allow us to feel that freedom and that love that you have for us. And we just pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I do go down so many rabbit trails, it's hard to weave my way back sometimes, though. It's like, what was the point I was trying to make? Praise God. What is He doing, you know? And I was talking to you about mainly about two things, because getting breakthrough into the things that we're talking about. I mean, real breakthrough, so that like heaven begins to manifest in your home, so that even people that are unbelievers will see it, because that's what I believe God wants to do. I heard a testimony about this woman that people keep throwing water on her because they see that she's on fire. And so in restaurants, people will douse her with water. I think God wants to do that.
Yes.
I believe He's going to do that. I believe that you're going to be wearing whirlwinds of fire sometimes when you go places, and that will be seen visibly.
I don't like that thing.
And that His light will be seen on you.
Yes.
It will be so overflowing with His light that it will be seen. You'll be one of the glowing ones.
Yes.
Yeah, so I know God's doing that, but see, how do we get to that place of breakthrough into that?
Because
we hear about these things, but okay, how do they begin to manifest? How is it that heaven is so present in our lives that it begins to manifest like that? And it really is a matter of spending time in the Spirit and Even when you don't feel like you're spending time in the Spirit. That's why Jane talked about imagination this morning. I mentioned it a little bit this afternoon. But imagination plays a huge role in breaking into the things of the Spirit. And even in your visual capacity, whether it's in your heart or in your imagination, or whether it's openly with your spiritual eyes that you see you can see the Lord or see angels or see things as you would like a regular person or as physical objects. But that capacity seems to be fostered and grow if you engage with the imagination. And even like, I'll tell you a couple of things that I learned as I was beginning. That there were a couple different ways that my spiritual senses really began to develop, and the Lord talked to me about that, and I'm going to share just a few of those things with you. But one was expectation, where I would wait expecting God to show me something, and the other was I would wait and I would frame things in my imagination that I wanted to be a part of. So you would read a scripture, like you would read a scripture that talks about the throne, or Ezekiel's wheels, or you know, the fiery furnace. Not that you would want to go into the fiery furnace, but why not? Because they weren't harmed.
Yeah.
So, frame pictures in your imagination, and then picture yourself as a part of it. Now, it sounds like fantasy because we're taught from the time we're little that it's pretend. It's just your imagination, Johnny. It's not really real, which is not true. Imagination is powerful and it is real, and it's a bridge to the spiritual dimension. So as you frame up pictures in your imagination, the more real you can make it in your imagination, the easier it is to step into that. I learned that when I would go on my prayer walks. I learned it actually by accident, but I know the Holy Spirit was directing me in that, because I would sit in my prayer chair and I would feel myself growing tired, so I would get up and I would walk through the house. Did I tell you about that yesterday? So I would go and I knew every room, I knew the floor, I knew the smells in the house. I would touch the door jams and the windows, I would anoint things because I was praying, I began to get tired, so I would get up and I would walk through the house and pray. So I would do this lap after lap after lap. And I did thousands of laps, just, you know, through the house. And then when I felt like I was awake, I would go back to the prayer chair. Well, one time I went back to the prayer chair and I looked and my body was still in the chair.
Whoa.
So it kind of threw me for a minute, because I didn't expect that to happen. But I'll just go ahead and lay out the whole story. So, because when that did happen, I guess from watching too many weird movies when I was a kid, so I thought, oh my goodness, I've died. And the angels just haven't come to collect me yet. So, because I'm looking at my body, I don't know how to deal with this. This has never happened to me before. Mm-hmm. You know? So then I get another weird thought. What if I'm in limbo? I'm not dead, but I'm not alive. You know? One of those things. I guess, you know, you probably watched movies like that before.
Oh, yeah.
So then after a while I thought, well, I'll just sit back down into my body. I'll be all joined together, and then I will get up and I will go to bed. So I sat down into my body. Then I stood up and I looked, and my body's still sitting in the chair. So now I'm starting to get nervous. So I did it again, sat back down. I stood up, body's still in the chair, and then the Lord speaks to me. And he said, just relax. Be at rest. So I heard his voice very clearly, so I said, okay. So I just sat and I rested. And then after about 2 minutes, he said, okay, now get up and go to bed. So I got up, and yes, I was all together. So, and you know, and that's one of those things that as these things, I don't know if these things are already happening to you, but these are like little adjustments sometimes.
Come on.
As we get used to moving in the Spirit and the things of the kingdom, mm-hmm. these are things that we have to adjust to, because if it's not everyday life until it's everyday life. Mm-hmm. It's not what we're walking in until it's what we're walking in, so we have to learn. So, but I learned something in that, from that experience, that because I had done this so many times, that it seemed normal, even that my spirit man just got up and did the walk, even without me being consciously aware of it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to redo this, because I've been learning about the sanctified imagination, and I thought, I will get up, I will sit in my chair, and in my imagination, I will do that prayer walk, because I know how it feels, I know how it smells, I know what my body feels like as I'm walking, I know every step, because I've done it so many times. And what began to happen was, as I would do this in my imagination, then it didn't take very long at all before it began to manifest as my spirit man going on prayer walks. It just, there was a shift that happened. At some point, as my imagination was exercised, my consciousness would shift positions to where I was actually walking through there. My spirit man was in the spirit, praying in the spirit as I would walk through my house. So I knew at that point the validity of exercising your imagination as a bridge to the things of the spirit. So then I began to do this more. I would picture things in my imagination. And God would give me sovereign experiences, or I would hear testimonies. Jane mentioned this about taking someone's testimony and using that as a launching pad. That's absolutely valid. You know, the testimony is something that we can lay hold of. That's why God gives us testimonies, so because they're powerful for other people. So I would hear testimonies, and then I would enter into those same things by faith, using my imagination. And so, you know, a lot of times when this first begins to happen, you get the idea, well, it's kind of a dream. I made the whole thing up. I'm not really over there praying for people. But, you know, I'm praying for people because I am praying for people. But it's all in my imagination. That's that. We only say that because we don't have a grid for it.
Right.
Because most of our lives, we write everything off as a dream. An angel could come and visit you. You say, oh, I had a dream that an angel came, right? I mean, because that's the grid we have most of the time growing up. So we don't have a grid for the spiritual things to start with, so they have to be incorporated as we go. Then it becomes more normal. So those times that you have that dream or that vision or that experience where you're praying for someone, because of who you are and the fact that you're spirit man, does not wait for your body to get on board before it operates with heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your spirit man is very active.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes we carry the recollection of that with us into our waking hours. But what we're talking about, doing these things on purpose, what Jane did with us this morning, is that as we do, as this becomes our lifestyle, then we are literally walking in both realms. But it's purposefully that we do these things. And it's real, is the point I'm trying to make. And the more we do that, the more awareness we have of the reality of it. And God proves these things. He didn't really allow me to gain proof through the physical for a long time, because the spiritual is the greater reality. We are spirit beings. So I kept trying to prove spiritual things by physical proofs, and the Lord wouldn't allow me to do that. So what do I mean by that? Well, I would do things in the spirit, and then I would go back in the natural to see if it was as I had done. And there was always something off about it, so that the Lord wouldn't allow me to prove it by that means. But eventually He did, in the most unusual of ways. That's why I say, the things that we're doing, they're not dream experiences, they're not, you know, wistful fantasies. This is what God is doing, because you really can be like Enoch and Elijah and these other people. He expects us to. You know, the Christianity we see in the churches, in most churches, is not normal Christianity.
Yeah.
This is normal Christianity.
Amen.
Even if it's not, you know, accepted by the masses, because it ruins their lives sometimes, so they think. So, you know, I had this, my wife and I go for prayer walks around our neighborhood, and we have a long stretch of road that we walk on, and it reminded me of a place in Macedonia where they have lots of shops and cafes. And so as we would walk down this sidewalk, this really long sidewalk, I just thought, wow, this kind of reminds me of Corzo, this place. And so in my imagination, without even trying, I wasn't trying to do an exercise, I was just enjoying the memory. And so I'm just, as I'm walking down the street, I'm remembering, yeah, the little coffee shop here, and here's the little store that's with knickknacks, and all these, the cafes, the hotel. I'm just imagining it as I go. And so I began to do that as we did our daily prayer walk. And then I thought to myself, well, I'm doing this anyway just because of the enjoyment. What if I just imagine that I'm actually praying for people as I go too? I mean, why not, right? So I would imagine that the people then, I'd put more people that had maladies that needed to be solved. And then I would pray for them as I encountered them. And then I began to do that. And I joined it so much that I took that to my prayer chair, and I began to see myself going to this place and praying for people. And it was only probably less than a month when I suddenly realized, oh my gosh, I'm really here. And I'm really praying for people. And so I just began to do this, like, over and over. And just like in real life, you know, people yelling, you know, what are you doing over there? Leave that boy alone. Leave that old man alone. And it's like I'd be praying for somebody and, you know, the enemy gets stirred up about it. So just like in real life. You know?
Yeah.
You know, why do you religious nuts have to bother us? Stuff like that. So, and I still do this. I mean, not to the frequency I did, because that was a season I was in. But and that was really nice. And so I moved on to other places, going to hospitals or different places that the Lord would take me for different purposes. And so I was in Germany 2 years ago, and I was speaking at a Russian church there, and everyone's seated. Just very quietly listening to me, and there's a man standing to the left of the stage. He's just looking at me. He's standing there the whole time. And so I prayed for the prayer line, and that was all done, and he's still standing there. And then when everything was over, at the end of the night, he walks over to me, and I'm wondering by now what's going on with this guy. He's not acting normal. I mean, not that we do, but, you know.
Yeah.
But so, abnormally, normally. So he comes over and he says, have you ever been to Macedonia? And I said, yes. He said, have you been to, and he named the city. And I said, yes. He said, do you go to Corzo? And I said, yes. He said, do you go there a lot? I said, yes. He said, I knew it was you. You're the guy that walks around praying for people.
Right?
And he says, I'm a pastor in that little city. He said, I've seen you going around Corzo praying for people, but I never had a chance to meet you. So it's really nice to make this connection. I never did tell him how I was getting But that's why I say God really is doing this stuff. That's why when you go somewhere and you see what's happening, you really see what's happening, is because you are really there. You know. So we have to realize that God's doing this, and it's for important reasons. You know, sometimes they're heartbreaking reasons that we have to walk in these things. I'm a firm believer that we have to walk in the things, especially now that we have knowledge of it. It's like, how are you going to say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that for you? We have to walk in these things. This family asked me to pray for a young boy that was having problems at school, and he was just constantly, he just started hurting the other kids and causing trouble, setting things on fire. It was just, he said it came out of nowhere. And so they asked me, would you pray about it? Someone called me on the phone and said, would you pray? So we prayed. I can't say that I spent much time praying for him, but maybe, I don't know, a few minutes, 5 minutes or something, and I just felt like I had prayed, okay? And so a few weeks later, I get another phone call, things are getting worse, and they're at the end of the rope, they don't know what they're going to do. I said, okay, so I thought, I need to pray for him like I pray for my kids. I don't know why in the world I didn't do that the first time. So I said, Lord, you have to show me what's going on. I need to know how to pray for this boy. And, the Lord honors his word. Asking each shall receive, right? So suddenly I'm standing in their house. And I see the boy. And I see that there is an older relative that is savagely tormenting this little child to the point of, if I had been there in the natural, I probably would have, I would have sent him to his great reward, I'll put it that way. It was horrible. I did not like seeing it. And the Lord said, this is what's going on in their home. This is why the boy, he doesn't know what to do. And so the Lord told me how to pray in that situation. He told me what to pray. And I prayed it. And I said, but Lord, sometimes people, when they have these situations when they're younger, it follows them their whole life. And the Lord said, no, I've assigned an angel. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up. And he's like 10 feet tall. And he's super serious looking. And the Lord told me this angel will be with him the rest of his life. He'll be okay. But then now, and the Lord said, and now the boy will have a chance to heal. And so I didn't even know what was going to manifest from that encounter that the Lord had taken me to into their home to see this. And
can you share this with the Lord told you to pray? How to pray?
Yeah, absolutely. The Lord told me to pray that this person that was doing this wickedness would be removed permanently from the boy's life. I didn't know what that looked like, but it actually was a situation where the Lord was telling me that this was going to be a life or death situation. If the person did not repent, then he would his life would be forfeit. Because the Lord was not going to allow this to continue. And actually, I was instructed to give a word to this person to that regard. And so, which, I have a hard time giving hard words, but, sometimes you have to do it, right? So, it was only a couple days later that relative, the evil relative, was removed permanently from the boy's life. And the Lord spoke to me and said, now the boy can begin to heal. So that's why I think we need to move in the Spirit. That's why it's important we do these things that we're doing here. So anyway, so I talked to you about imagination, I talked to you about stillness, and I cannot overemphasize those things that during your day, carve out time to ascend into the heavens, with music, without music, in stillness, in worship. But make this something that you're pursuing with such a passion and use those keys. Because if you frame things in your imagination, what you focus on, you will connect with. And when you connect, an activation takes place and this begins to manifest. What does it look like? When it begins to manifest in your life and in your home, it becomes so obvious that even people that are unbelievers will see it. That's why when you pray for people, the miraculous healings happen, because you're carrying that atmosphere, that power of God. And in our house, when we have people come stay the night, they have actually seen the angels, and sometimes it freaks them out. And a friend of my son spent the night, and he came up from the basement the next morning. Apparently he had spent the whole night with his head under the covers because he was so terrified. And he said, he came up and he said, "Mr. Van Vlieman, you have ghosts in your house." And I said, "No, we don't have ghosts. Those are angels. They would never allow ghosts to roam through our house." So, but he didn't have a grid for that. And we're trying to give him a grid for that still. And then my cousin, he showed up out of nowhere one day, needed to spend the night. So he came down the next morning and he said, from this guest room, he said, "You are never going to believe what happened." I said, "Try me." You know, and he saw an angel that when he was rolled over in his sleep, and the angel was checking him out. But he had perfect peace from it, you know. So these kind of things begin to happen. So as you engage the things of the Spirit, it manifests around your life. And the more you engage it, the more it becomes part of everyday life. The more it becomes part of everyday life, the more everyone else can see it around you. And you become like a sign and a wonder. Like in my wife's world, and in our home, when people come over, because of the presence of the Lord, they also get covered in gold dust many times. And so my wife's Bible is like a collection of gold dust pages. And so she was telling her niece one time, she said, "Look at my Bible. Look at all the gold that the Lord poured out on these scriptures." And her niece said, "Oh, they make those Bibles like that." And she goes, "No, they don't. They don't make Bibles like that." And so only maybe 20 minutes later, her kids came running in the room because they had gold dust all over their faces. I said, "Were your kids made with gold dust on their faces too?" But it just began to happen. So she had to acknowledge that it was a supernatural sign from God that something was happening, even if they didn't understand it. But the things of the Spirit then become everyday life, and the angels you work with become more apparent. You begin to experience these things, and it becomes more natural just to step into the Spirit. When the Lord says go, you're already on that page. It's not like you have to you know, work it up, or you have to figure something out, or spend a couple hours in worship first, because your heart is always in that direction. So you just, at that point, you just step, because this has been everyday life. You know, we do the engagements. I call them exercises, but it's really just continually engaging with the kingdom of heaven. You do it so much that it manifests even when you're not looking for it. You're doing the dishes and suddenly you're somewhere else. You're walking through the house, taking a breath or just checking things out or doing something. You walk through your house, suddenly you're on the other side of the world doing something.
Oh.
I mean, it just happens. You know, I was praying one night, and I was just praying and worshiping, and it was wonderful. Nothing spectacular happened. You know, sometimes, my friend Bruce says, sometimes people focus so much on the spectacular, they miss the supernatural, you know? It's like, nothing spectacular happened, but like the supernatural peace and presence of God was just like flowing through me. And I was enjoying it so much, but I was so tired. So I got up off my knees and I just kind of climbed into the bed, and then the Spirit of the Lord really fell. And I just felt His presence come on me like a, you know, have you ever had like that warm blanket where it's almost like you can't even move? So I feel that and I think, oh, I guess I'm not done yet. So I crawl back off the bed onto my knees. As soon as my knees hit the floor, I'm caught away to a different place that the Lord wanted me to, had a project for me to do. So it just begins to happen. It just begins to manifest that you go. You're thinking about the Lord as you go to sleep. Suddenly you wake up, you're in a heavenly place, and the Lord is ministering to you. Or you're standing in some kind of heavenly rain where he's just bringing refreshing to you, because He does stuff like that. But it springs, all these things as a lifestyle springs out of that we are doing these things on purpose. We are engaging the kingdom of heaven on purpose every day, because that is the desire of our heart, to walk in the kingdom of heaven, to walk in both realms as normal everyday life. If that is your desire, if that is what your pursuit is, if you take a couple small keys, like Jane was talking about imagination, I was talking about stillness, if you take a couple small keys that the Lord has given to us to break this open in your life, and you engage those things, then it just begins to happen. Everyday life, you begin to, you know, I was praying one night, just worshiping all night long. And you know how time gets away from you? It's like you're worshiping and suddenly you look at the clock and it's like, oh my goodness, I gotta get up for work in an hour, you know? So I got up and I was walking around the house and just enjoying that buzz that I had from, you know, being in worship all night. And I thought, I'll just step outside and get a nice cool breath of that morning air. And I stepped outside the house, and suddenly I'm standing in front of the church where there's a conference going on, and I'm looking around. I remember exactly what I said. I said, Lord, this has got to be the coolest thing yet. Because it was just so awesome. How, I mean, one minute I'm worshiping, the next minute he's catapulted me to some other place to do something. So he spoke to me and he said, I've put money in your pocket. I want you to give it to that man. There's a black man about my age that was close by. So I reached in my pocket, and sure enough, there was money in there. So I went over and I gave it to him. And so after I had done that, he called out and said, you know, this, he was excited. He said, this will buy so many containers of food. So I assumed that he had a feeding program at that point. But I saw these two women that were over on the sidewalk talking to each other. And I thought, I'm going to go ask. See, this is why I was trying to continually prove what God was doing. So I thought, I'm going to go ask those women about this conference and about this guy. And so I go over there to talk to them, and one of them says, oh, you'll find out all about him. He's here all week, but let us pray for you. And then without even missing a beat, these two women, they like slapped hands on me and began to pray and prophesy and the most amazing things. But suddenly I'm back home. I don't even realize the transition. It's just like they're praying for me one minute, next minute I'm back in my house. It's like, wow, that was awesome. But it becomes, because this is what I'm engaging, this is what we're doing, every day it just begins to manifest because that's who you are. You begin to be caught away. You begin to know things that you shouldn't know by normal means. You begin to walk in the supernatural things just as natural life. You know, and it's amazing what that looks like. So, and it's for a purpose. So, stillness and imagination, two important keys that I'm telling you, take it to the extreme. To be as extreme as you can in these things. I'll tell you something I learned about moving from the natural to the spiritual realm. This is a little thing that the Lord showed me. And I was doing this earlier today. When I want to move from the physical to the spiritual realm, and I don't feel like I'm quite making the jump. See, because it becomes very easy. If this is what you do, you just close your eyes and step. The bridge becomes very short the more you do it. So I imagine two angels, one on either side of me, which isn't hard to do because there's usually angels all around anyway, and you know that. So I imagine that each one has an arm, and there's a veil, or like a, not an obstruction, but just a place that you have to pass through, 8 feet away. And suddenly the angels just catapult you through that veil. And once you reach the other side of that, then you're in the spirit.
Wow.
Now, because of the intensity of the movement and the focus of your imagination, it seems like that gives you a breakthrough into that realm. It's when your imagination involves movement, it gives you a greater breakthrough. At least I found that for myself. So that's a little key I want to give you. Yeah, but it's spectacular because as we do these things, and heaven just becomes so apparent, and it's so exciting. It's scary sometimes, but it's exciting. I was sitting in my chair once, waiting on the Lord, and I'm just trying to figure out which way I want to go with this, you know. I'll go here, then I'll go there. So is that okay? I'll go here, then I'll go there. So I'm just waiting on the Lord, and all of a sudden I feel a powerful presence come into the room. And so I'm just waiting now, because I can't see him, but I can certainly feel him. You know what I'm talking about, you feel the presence. So I'm waiting for him, for, you know, the revelation to come or something. And all of a sudden he starts to speak, and his words, they shook me to the core. Those words that he was speaking, he said, this is the word for the servants of the Lord. And as he said those words, they hit me like incredibly powerful sound waves, and I felt like I was going to vibrate apart. So I started like vibrating in my chair. I felt like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. So I crawled out of my chair and I ran from the room. Mike, we would never have done that. I think the Lord was teaching me a lesson, you know. It's like sometimes you experience things and you think, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
The Lord says, no, you don't. Let me push out the boundaries a little bit for you, show you. There's more. So that's the kind of, but what I wanted to tell you again about, I've noticed that when you have a visual capacity, either an internal or external visual capacity for the things of the Spirit, it seems to create an ease of access for going into the Spirit as well. So that's why the continuous engagement that I'm saying, that you continually practice like what we did this morning, that's important, because it gives you that capacity, it increases it. But as I was doing this, another time I was sitting in my prayer chair. A lot of my adventures start from the prayer chair, just to give you a clue how important I think that is, spending that time with God. But all of a sudden I saw an angel, and I said, hey, I called out to him, because he wasn't in my immediate vicinity, but I could see him in the distance. And I called out to him, so he came to me, and I said, can you help me? And he said, what can I do for you? I said, I really want to see better than I do, because I was starting to experience the things of the Spirit. I was starting to go, I was starting to see, I was starting to feel, smell. I would smell the, you know, different fragrances and stuff. And so it was starting to develop, but I didn't know, I wanted a breakthrough, right? I mean, you want greater than what you have, right? It's like, you don't want to just have 10% of what God's given you. You want the whole enchilada. So, and I didn't say enchilada because I'm hungry. I just, that's easy. So the angel, when I asked him that, suddenly his eyes started to bleed, and the blood was running down his face, and it really kind of looked almost demonic, really. So I said, what are you doing? I know you're an angel of the Lord. What are you doing that for? And so immediately his eyes became normal, and he said, your eyes have been injured from all the garbage you've put into them, but the Lord can heal them. So that was a key that the Lord was giving me. A lot of times, even by accident, our eyes get defiled. And so we need to be diligent and say, Lord, just cleanse my eyes. Heal my eyes. If there's anything that that's come into my eyes, we need to break that off of us and just ask the Lord to heal us. He said the Lord can heal them. So I took that as a word from the Lord, that's what I was supposed to ask for, was healing for my eyes. Another thing that the Lord showed me, he used to visit me in the night to talk to me specifically about these gifts that we desire to walk in. You want to hear his voice, you want to see what the Father is doing in heaven, right? Just like Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. So the Lord said many times there are veils that keep us from seeing or experiencing these things. And the veils are constantly moving, so it makes it even more difficult. And the Lord said that those veils can be brought down through forgiveness. I mean, veils can be caused by unforgiveness. So by forgiveness, by being delivered of unbelief. Doubt and unbelief is a big thing that puts blockages. You know, so we can be rid of those things. So the Lord said, veils can be caused by sins, traumas, things that we experienced during our childhood, just anything you can think of, but the veils can be brought down. And sanctification removes the veils. I learned that very powerfully one night. I was worshiping, and I just thought, you know, I was asking the Lord to sanctify me. I don't know why, but I just felt led of the Spirit. Lord, sanctify me to a greater sanctification. And as I'm praying this, now I use my imagination when I pray, so I pictured angels dumping buckets of fire over my head. And so as I was doing this, suddenly like fire manifested. And so now I'm like sitting in a fire. And it was incredible. But I'd asked for the sanctification. I pictured what it would look like in my mind, in my imagination, and it manifested. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. But at the very end of this experience, suddenly these veils come up again. And I'm thinking, what is it with these veils? I want to be rid of them. And the veils came up, and then I saw one fall to the ground like dust. And the Lord showed me sanctification rids us of those veils. So ask the Lord for greater sanctification and engage with that. Engage with the Lord to bring that sanctification. Even if the Holy Spirit doesn't cause you to do it the same way that He told me to do it, but just follow that path of sanctification. It brings down the veils and it makes greater ease of access to the things of Spirit when you don't have those blocking and hindering things. So, I got to leave you with one more thing that I wanted to say, if I can. So you know the things that I think are important. I hope I've stressed that. And I know it's important to Jane as well, because she talked about it and led us into it. But and she talks about these things as well. But, you know, as these things begin to manifest in your life, normal life as normal ceases to exist. Amen. So it's always some new adventure. And that's the great thing. That I remember one night I was asleep. Suddenly I woke up and I heard a man's voice whispering my name. Mike, Mike. So I thought, there was no reason for a strange man to be in my house, let alone my bedroom. So I got really scared. My heart was beating, and I'm thinking, an intruder? I don't know why an intruder would be trying to talk to me, but you know, I thought an intruder, so I thought, I got like an adrenaline rush. I jumped out of bed, I like attacked this guy, and so I'm trying to wrestle him to the ground, because I'm thinking, I have to protect my family. And so I'm like wrestling him, and all of a sudden I realize that something is very wrong, because I'm having absolutely no effect on this guy. He's absolutely huge and very powerful, and he's laughing at me as I'm trying to fight him. And so I stopped for a minute, and I looked at him, and I thought, oh my goodness, I've attacked an angel. And he had brought me a gift from the Lord, a basket of bread. And he talked to me a little bit, and he told me that he was assigned to our family when my parents were missionaries. And he talked about his ministry and what his ministry entailed, and how that he would have liked to have more people from the mission assigned to him, but that was a choice that they make. That's the choice we make. If we're going to go on and do what the Lord has for us, then He equips us.